0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Greg Taylor hails Celtic's mental strength for the tour of Japan and South Korea also announced. John Lundstrom says he's well aware of the improvements Rangers need to make, and Barry Robson reveals plans for a squad overhaul this summer. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL.
Yeah, an exciting weekend gone, Gordon. Sorry,
Gordon, already, how many? Already? How long are we into the show?
20 seconds.
20 seconds. Andrew, my apologies. Still a lot of talking points out there. And also, an exciting weekend ahead. Starts Friday night. The championship still to be decided. A head-to-head with Queen's Park v Dundee. Who's got to be the winner? Who's got to take all? And obviously relegation there as well. So plenty of talking points. And welcome back, Andrew.
Yeah, there's a lot of looking forward to do, Simon. But a game like Sunday is not really one that you can only have one night of reaction to. I'm sure there'll be plenty of thoughts from people on the phone about that one.
Plenty of reflection, I think, watching the game. It was a bit of a theme that's grown through that particular fixture, you know, Celtic capitalising and ruthless on mistakes made by Rangers. We've seen it in recent times. I don't think they were at their best. They certainly had to defend at times. But as I said last week in the show, Celtic at the moment, when the question is posed, they always seem to come up with the answer.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025. Celtic fans, maybe you want to look back at the weekend, or maybe you want to look ahead with this treble that looks to be getting ever closer. Rangers fans, maybe you've still got some thoughts on what happened on Sunday, or maybe you want to look at the bigger picture. Talk about, you know, the fact that John McLaughlin and Scott Wright, the two of those players, reports today that they are part of what could be a summer clear out. How does the rest of the season look as well? We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Maybe Aberdeen fans have some thoughts on the permanent appointment of Barry Robson as well. We'll hear from him a bit later in the show. So 0141 951 1025. Gordon, you were in the studio on Sunday. You've had a bit of time to reflect. Now the dust has settled. How do you view how events unfolded on Sunday?
Well, first and foremost, I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was an exciting game. Andrew did everything. Great talking points. Simon sums it up perfectly from a Celtic's point of view. They know how to get this movie done. You know, I thought Rangers come out second half, looked a lot more positive. You know, they made one or two substitutions. They switched the formation a little bit. But they just, the huffed and the puffed, they can never get there. You give this Celtic team one opportunity, and you're right, it's a mistake once again from Rangers, but take nothing away. I said it in the programme at the weekend. Midas Cross is top quality for me. It's absolutely brilliant. Rangers defence get caught napping. Jota sneaks in, easiest finish you'll ever get. And they've seen the game out. And, you know, you look at the Celtic side and think, if you're going to try and overcome them, and no disrespect, and I think that the Rangers fans have had enough of the Ryan Kents and Morelos's and people like that. You look at Sakala coming on, really should burst in it. When you're playing big games like that, you've got to score. When chances come along to Celtic, you've got to put that in the back of net. I think there's a massive rebuilding job. I think everybody concerned with Rangers knows that. But I think it'll be a brilliant summer because Rangers have got to rebuild. And the one thing that I would worry about if I was in the Rangers camp is the man across the city, Postecoglou, is brilliant in the transfer market, and he'll bring in better and stronger players.
Yeah, Ange Postecoglou quite often talks after games about, you know, the players' desire to just keep on going, managing to get games over the line. That was just another example of that at the weekend, wasn't it?
It was. Listen, the last few games, I watched the Celtic game against Motherwell last week. They haven't been at their best. They can play a lot better. They really can, but when it comes to these games at the moment, they seem to get it over the line. They had to defend at different times. Carter Vickers, immense. The whole defence, really. And yeah, as Gordon touches on there, Sakala is the obvious chance that he has to score. He had one similar in the final recently. But I just feel at the moment Celtic know how to get the victory in these games. And if they're offered up any sort of opportunity, you know, they're not slow to take it. It's a great ball by Maeda. He plays it in almost blind, just inviting Jota to come in at the back post. with, as Gordon says, a simple header. But how many times did we see that in the last two seasons? If it's Abada creeping in at the back of Barisic, this time it was Tavernier. They're just so lively. The last game at Celtic Park, capitalising on mistakes for Davis and John Souter. You can't give these chances to Celtic. This team take them all the time.
Well, that's a taster of what Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL think, but we want to hear what you think at home. 01419511025 is the number you need. First up is Kevin, who's a Celtic fan in Motherwell. Kevin, how do you reflect on Sunday, a couple of days on?
How you doing? Off. It's just absolutely delighted, obviously, to get that airline. I phoned you guys at the end of last week and I said this was the biggest game of your season, and the boys delivered. I think there's two ways to look at the game. I think Rangers fans will look at the game and think, well, we dominated the second half and yada yada without even really creating anything apart from Sakala's big chance. But for me, I think we've seen two sides of Celtics play. On Sunday, we've seen just ruthless going forward. Cut Rangers open a few times. We had a big chance. We took it, ruthless. Second half, quite happy to let Rangers come on to us. And we defended brilliantly. I think there's two aspects to it. To football, at the end of the day, you need to be able to do both parts well. And Rangers just couldn't cope with us going forward. And they couldn't cope with us at the back either. We had all the answers. No matter what they threw at us, we had the answer. And it was just brilliant to watch for me. I thought, oh yeah, you're a bit nervous because it's only 1-0. And they could get a chance. There was a big chance for Scala. But it was just great to watch how solid we were at the back. Brilliant.
Yeah, we'll split that up. We'll start with what Kevin's mentioned there defensively. Yeah. When people talk about the top performers at the weekend, Cameron Carter-Vickers is right up there. I think he won the official man of the match. Yeah. He had a great game. Carl Starfelt had a great game. Often when you think of these matches, you think of the attacking talent that Celtic have on show. Yeah. But those two had a really good game on Sunday.
Absolutely. And listen, your Celtic hat on, you want to go and win these games 3-4-0 and get goals and be brilliant going forward, but it doesn't always pan out that way. I thought it was a typical semi-final. You know, it was tight. And as I say, Sakala had the chance, but Celtic defended really well when they have to. And in games, whether it's Rangers or whoever, anybody else opposition, you have to defend at times. You know, I know Celtic are really strong domestically, and most often they are going the other way, but sometimes in these games, particularly a semi-final against your big rivals, you have to defend. And when that was posed to Celtic at the weekend, you know, they weren't found wanting. They were rock solid, and they rode their luck with the wee one off the post, which sometimes you have to do as well. But out with that, I thought they defended really well.
I suppose you need to look at the mentality of Cameron Carter-Vickers as well, because Ange Postecoglou said after the game that he won't play again this season because he needs to get a knee injury looked at. Ange Postecoglou kind of joked that and said that, you know, it was something that he kind of hoped Cameron Carter-Vickers had got looked at before, but said, you know, he's a bit scared of him, so we'll just let him do what he wants. I know he's saying that with his tongue in his cheek, but the fact that Cameron Carter-Vickers, you know, could have decided to go away and get that looked at, but he specifically wanted to play in this game, and he really showed up.
Well, now the dust has settled, I'm sure that everybody connected with Celtic is delighted that Cameron Carter-Vickers made the choice to go and play, because we've touched on their man of match. He was absolutely sensational. You look at Celtic and you always talk about the middle of the park to front. You know how they are in their passing, their movement, their pace, their goals, everything. I don't think they were at their very best middle to front. I know you can go to the goal and look at it, and I think it is a terrific goal, and I've already praised the cross and obviously Jota sneaking in at back post. So in these big games, semi-final, the most important thing about semi-final, And Simon will tell you this, as a player, as a manager, MD involved with, win the game. Yep. Doesn't matter how you win it, win the game, because your next one's a final, right? It's the biggest game. So just go out there and win the game. And when Celtic had to do a different side of it, Cameron Carter-Vickers, and I've got to give a mention to Starfelt as well, he comes in for a bit of criticism, and some people do have a go at him now and again, and I think it's because sometimes he comes out from the back and he gets caught with a sloppy pass, but his defending is absolutely brilliant, and I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
I don't think that pairing has been beaten domestically when the two of them play since they came to the club, which is incredible.
I think possibly once. I think they played together for the semi-final last year.
Right.
I think they played together, but I think that's the only game in almost 2 years.
Pretty good. You know, they came in. Starfelt came in for a bit of stick at the start of his Celtic career, and maybe he isn't as good on the ball as Carter-Vickers. But as Gordon says, there he defends. He's got a ton of pace. He's brave. you look at the bravery there at the weekend, the way they defended. Alistair Johnson took a sore one later on in the game, the one with Carter Vickers on the line, and you look at the reaction, that just epitomises everything about the Celtic team for me. He gets up and then wins the next header after being on the deck. They were rock solid.
Kevin, how much are you looking forward to the rest of the season now? There's obviously a huge game coming up this weekend at Tynecastle, a win obviously sees Celtic win the title, and then a huge Scottish Cup final ahead against Inverness.
I just really looking forward to the rest of the season, and I'm not going to get back on what I said last week. I couldn't care less if Rangers take 3, 4, 5 goals after some, the next game. I could not care less because we've got a chance to win a treble, but really looking forward to this weekend. It's a really tough game. We got to Tynecastle. I know they're maybe not the greatest before them, but tough away game up there, but hopefully we can get the job done at Tynecastle. If not, then we'll see what happens at Ibrox. But chance to win a treble, chance to make history. I think it's 8 trebles. It's the most in world football. I think I said that somewhere. It's a record haul. So in terms of trebles, so that'd be great. And just to make a second point, I know that you guys, Gordon, especially you, when there's been a positive result, you don't want to focus on the referees, right? But I would love for somebody to explain to me how Bernard Barisic stayed on the pitch, because the referee, he dived, the referee saw the dive, gave a free kick to Celtic for the dive, and no booked him. And I just think, you just want consistency with the referees, and I'm not wanting to concentrate on them too much because the referee had a decent game, but that's just terrible refereeing. I mean, that's, I don't know how he stayed in the pitch. I just wanted to know what you think of that.
Should Bernard Barisic have been sent off, Gordon?
Well, it was a big talking point, you've got to say. When I seen it at first, I actually thought that the pitch was playing a bit wet because of the weather, and I thought he slipped. But if you're asking me, was he looking for a penalty kick? He probably was, and I don't think he'd have been the only one in that position that would have been looking for a penalty kick. So the referee had a big decision to make. I know what Kevin's saying, it's very easy to look at individual things like that. There was another one I thought he got wrong. I can't remember what it was. I actually said it in the programme. But apart from that, I thought the referee was terrific, right? And they're the easiest targets in the world in these big
especially
games.
Especially having to step in the last minute.
Exactly. And they're the easiest targets in the world in these big games. If it doesn't go for your team, bang. They never talk about the players. They never talk about tactics. What they do is they just focus on the referee. I think sometimes, will he make a mistake in 90 plus minute in a semi-final against Celtic and Rangers? Of course he will. He'll make one or two. But if you look at the overall picture, I thought the officials were very good at the weekend.
Yeah, I think generally the consensus has been that Don Robertson stepped in and had a decent game.
Well, he's under a lot of pressure. You look at the game, it's the biggest game left in the season, really, out with the cup final. And I thought he handled it well. You know, you can look at the tackle at the beginning with Lundstrom, and I think I spoke with Jim Duffy recently, but you can see where that, you know, in different games would be deemed a yellow. But I think he allowed that to go, and I think that let the game go, you know. And I mean, we're from an era where these games, the tackles came thick and fast right through, really competitive. So I thought that kind of leaned itself towards the game being like that. I don't really think he had any kind of howl in the game, but as I say, we're all human. If he makes the odd mistake, it does get focused on.
Kevin, we were talking about Cameron Carter-Vickers there, won't play again for Celtic this season. Is this now a big opportunity for maybe the likes of Yuki Kobayashi to show what he can do in the last few games of the season?
I think so, because we needed that cover. We don't know what this boy's capable of, so it's a chance for him to come in and show us what he can do. It's a chance for Tony Ralston to get back in the squad as well, because it looks like Johnston probably missed the rest of the season. So I think Andrew's got to utilise the full squad now anyway. I think we'd probably put everything in Saturday, get that air of the line, and should we win it, I think you'll see quite a big rotation. Maybe not as much for the Rangers game, but you'll certainly see the team being rotated now, so it's a good chance to see some faces that don't play that often.
Yeah, would you expect that to happen, Gordon, in the next few weeks if Celtic wrap up the title this week? Because Ange Postecoglou at times in the season has rotated a lot, but when Celtic have been in those periods where they've only had one game a week, he does tend to stick to a pretty similar starting 11. Would you expect him to maybe experiment over the last few games?
I think once he gets the title over the line, obviously it doesn't matter. I know what Kevin's saying about, oh, I don't care if we lose three. The Rangers games are always important. Every player, ex-player, every manager will tell you, they're always important. After that, then I think he'll rotate with one eye obviously on the Scottish Cup because it's such a big game for him, the fact he won the treble. I know the gin fan favourites and people will be shouting out there, oh, we could play our squad, you know, the guys that don't get a game still beat Inverness, but you've still got to go and do the business on the pitch, and I think they'll be very professional towards that. I'd like to see players like, for instance, I've only seen him in short bursts, Vata, for instance. I think he looks an exciting player for me. He came on as sub at Celtic Park and I thought he was, you know, he gave Celtic a bit of spark. So you might use one or two of those players. You'll get David Turnbull's not had a lot of game time as well. He certainly get plenty. He's not going to weaken his team. He certainly get plenty of talent at his disposal. There's no doubt about that. But get back to the two lads, Johnson and obviously Carter Vickers. For them personally, if they are going to miss the Scottish Cup final, it's a big blow for a player.
Well, I mean, Cameron Carter-Vickers definitely will, because Ange Postecoglou said it is his final game of the season. It was at Hampden. Remains to be seen what will happen with Alistair Johnston. Just going back to Yuki Kobayashi in particular, we've seen flashes of him. Certainly his distribution looks very good. Yep. Ange Postecoglou said previously about players that come in January that you'll maybe see the best of them at the start of next season once they've had a pre-season under their belt. But this is a real good period for him, isn't it, to really try
it's
and...
It's a good opportunity. And Gordon said there's a cup final at the end of it, you know, and it's a pity that Carter Vickers is going to miss out, but it's an opportunity for somebody else. What I've seen of the guy, he brings a bit of balance because he's a left footer. He's very composed. I don't think he's really been tested in the games that he's been in so far, but it's a wonderful opportunity for the guy to come in, stake his claim, get in that cup final team. And that's why he's there. You know, that it's no fault of his that the other two have been so strong up until now and keeping him out of the team. That's what it's like at Celtic or Rangers. You have to, when the opportunity comes, go and take it and show what you can do.
Well, let's actually hear what Ange Postecoglou had to say about Cameron Carter-Vickers on Sunday.
Yeah, he hasn't put a foot wrong since we signed him, and you know, him and Carl as a partnership, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't think they still lost domestically. You know, they're an outstanding pair. They really work hard together, and Cameron as keeps growing as a player, as a leader within the group. That's his last game for us, so he'll get his he needs to get his injury looked at now. So, you know, that'll be it for him this season. You know, but he wanted to play today. Sort of was trying to push for him to have it done a bit earlier, but I'm scared of him, so I just let him do what he wants. And, he was keen on playing today, and he put in a performance that, you know, befits his standing at our football club. And, you know, it's a credit to him.
Is that one thing that every manager would absolutely love, Simon, is having a central defender that is so available and so reliable as Cameron Carter-Vickers is?
Yeah, and he's up there for player of the season, I think, as well. So consistent. And I think Ange had said that they were trying to get him in there quicker for the operation, but he wanted to play in that game at the weekend. And he's such an important member of the back four, such an important member of the team. So he put himself on the line for the club, got the man of the match, got the job done. Now he has to go and get himself, you know, on a personal level correct for next season. And he's sacrificed, you know, a place in the Scottish Cup final.
Well, let's hear from you at home. 0141 951 1025. Thank you to Kevin. Rangers fans, I'm sure you've got plenty of thoughts after that game and looking ahead as well. So let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025 on the phones, or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. We're just getting a bit of technical help there during the break there, Gordon, with you. What I want to know is that you weren't getting, just to be a bit boring here, he wasn't getting emails through from a certain email address. So producer Chris has looked on your phone to see why. It turns out you have 20 blocked phone numbers on your phone. I don't think I want to know why you've got 20 different phone numbers blocked on your phone.
I can honestly say I'd love to know why myself. I haven't a clue. I don't know how to work
He's used that defence before, hasn't he?
He doesn't recognise any of the numbers.
I've got no idea. It's nothing to do with me.
Don't you worry. There might be some good information there. I'll be unblocking them tonight.
Right, let's hear from you at home. 0141 951 1025. Let's go back to the phones. John Paul is a Celtic fan in Fauldhouse. John Paul, what's on your mind tonight?
Evening, Andrew, Gordon, Simon. First of all, just like to say well done and all the best to Simon and opening his new pub.
Cheers, John Paul. Thank you.
Me and my missus, we love football. We love live music, so we'll definitely be through.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
I want to talk about Ange Postecoglou, right? I'm going to take the guys back. It's made a question to Simon, you know, and he's been around Celtic a long time and he's seen managers come and go. And, you know, I'm going to take Ange Postecoglou back to when he first came in. You know, the big egos that he had to deal with, you know, where Edouard had down tools, Christie had down tools, Ayer had come out and said he wanted to leave. That's the spine of your team, you know, and he was quick with him saying, when he got a window, saying, right, you don't want to be here, on you go. And not only did he replace him with people who I would say is as good. You know, I said again at the weekend, they replaced, when he signs players, they signs people. You know, you just need to look at a goalkeeper with Barkas in goals and Scott Bain in goals, who let us down massively. You know, Joe Hart's came in, and he's not just a good player, he's an experienced player. He's also got a way around the dressing room. You can just see it when Carl McGregor gives him the armband. You know, Carter Vickers has come in. He's been a mainstay. And no matter what centre-half or partner he's had, he's made them better players. You know, Starfelt clearly feeds off him. You can see him. He's talking all the time. He's Carter Vickers' body. The way he puts his body in the line, you know, his positional sense is absolutely brilliant. You know, he brought Greg Taylor and he made him a better player. Johnson for his age is very, very, very composed. The way he speaks, the way he talks and the way that he goes through, you know, and then you just go to Hatate, the way he's come in, the way he's thrived, you know, he must be a great person as in training, as in ability. We know the ability as well, but he must train every day. And then Dyson, Maeda and Tiogo up top, they're certainly not into play Celtic for themselves. You know, they're built in, they want to play for the team. But they want to do everything for the team. You know, and it's a massive, massive credit to Postecoglou. What he's done and how he turned Celtic around in a short space of time. You can look across the city and you see the big egos, the people that are playing for themselves. You know, you don't get that. You don't even get that in any wingers. Everybody's chipping in the goals and you see how close it is, you know, and Simon and Gordon will know, we've been in football. It's very, very hard to do that when you've got players that aren't playing all the time. But to do it in a short space of time has been absolutely amazing. I just want to know what the guys think.
Yeah, listen, I agree with a lot of stuff John Paul's saying there. Creating an environment in football within a dressing room, I think, is key to management. The players come with ability, but he talks about the character there in them, and that is difficult to do with 20 plus people who all want to play. Creating that environment where everybody's fighting for each other, everybody's working hard for each other. I watched them down at Rugby Park at the start of the season when they scored 4 or 5, and I watched the way they celebrated with each other, you know, going to celebrate with your teammate who scored. They're a proper team, and the transformation in Celtic in that 2-year period that he's been in is incredible. It's exciting. He's addressed transfer windows 6 months before. You know, he's always a transfer window ahead. There was grumblings in the Celtic support with Giakoumakis and Juranovic leaving. He's brought guys in there that you wouldn't even realise Juranovic has moved on. Johnson's been excellent. But it's the type of person, exactly what John Paul's saying there. It's not just the player, and these guys look as if they're the right type. And it's all credit to Ange Postecoglou for the way he's come in, created a winning culture, an environment there where they all want to fight for each other. And it's evident, you know, it's evident. Guys come off the bench after 60 minutes, they want to make a positive impact. There's no real sulking. If there is any kind of thing like that, you know, if a bit of disgruntlement with a player, I would suggest Giakoumakis. He's no longer there. They move him on. If you're not wanting to play at the club, if you're not happy here, we'll move you on and we'll bring somebody else in.
Yeah, recruitment is a huge part of football, Gordon, but you can buy as many good players as you want, but it doesn't always work out. There's so many things that need to knit together for a team to be successful, and Ange Postecoglou has managed to do that.
Yeah, you get a perfect example. You look down south, you look at Chelsea, it's spent hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of millions of pounds, and the dressing room's not right. Any pro, anybody that's been in this game as a professional will tell you, most important thing about a successful team is the dressing room. Yep. It's the culture in the dressing room, the togetherness, everything. Because you're in there every morning most of the days now. You're working for each other. You've got to have each other's back. Ange Postecoglou leads from the front for me. He's a very dominant figure. He speaks very well for me. He's very upfront and honest. He tells us it as it is. If you don't want to wear a jersey, no problem, I'll find somebody to replace you. To keep a squad of that ability happy, and most of them are happy, yes, there'll be one or two that, like Giakoumakis, that wanted more football, and I don't blame the boy for that, because at the end of the day, it's a short-lived career, and you want to go and play, and he was banging in the goals for fun. Unfortunately, he found himself playing second fiddle, but there was no big fallout about it. It was a case of, okay, don't want to be here, go and enjoy your football elsewhere, I'll bring someone else there in to replace you. This is where I think Michael Beale, and they're talking about gaps here, and now obviously everybody will agree there's a gap. If Michael Beale's any chance, the summer he has got to do an Ange Postecoglou, he has got to go out and find Dave James and fit them all together.
With everything you've seen from Ange Postecoglou so far, John Paul, how much confidence does that give you going forward that, you know, this dominance that Celtic have found under him is here to stay?
Oh, it's absolutely massive, you know, for any Celtic fan that goes to the game and watches it and sees what and sees what you've got in front, you know, and it's no surprise when you hear him saying at the weekend that we had to get better defensively, and he's done that, you know, and it's two parts of the game, you know, it's massive, but it's just the ruthlessness. And as I was talking about there, when Celtic get chances, they very rarely score them, they take them, you know. Look at the guy Abada. He's came out and said he'd maybe want a wee bit more football, and as Gordon says, that's not a bad thing. But if you make that public, well, Ange Postecoglou, he's not going to sit in his laurels and say, well, I'll maybe get him back in the team. He'll go, he'll look, he'll try and replace him, and he'll say, on you go, and all the best, you know. And that's massive. It's massive to have that, just somebody who leads the club, who leads the... There's a right connection with the fans. I don't think I've ever seen it in my time. In fact, I've not ever seen it in my time. It's just the fans and the board have so much trust in him that basically he's untouchable, and we believe it. Everything it says, we believe in, and it's gone all the way through the team. So it's just a good thing to see.
How huge would a treble be for Ange Postecoglou as well? He's only two wins away from it, I think. Massive. Most people are expecting it to happen, almost, with no disrespect towards Inverness with the way the final's set up, but it would be huge.
It would be massive. And I keep going back to standing in Celtic Park addressing the crowd last year saying we'll be bigger and better this time next year, and he's as good as his word. You know, they're a game away from a treble. They've wrapped up the league more or less, and it'll be incredible, you know. And that's the thing people say, how can he keep improving? He has up until now, and I think it always must be really exciting for Celtic fans. Where do they go from? Obviously, Europe next year is a big thing, because that kind of gets thrown at the club. But this team are really exciting to watch and strong. The Japanese, if you'd said 2 years ago there'd be 5-6 Japanese players in the Celtic team, nobody would believe you. But this guy has worked in that field. He's identified players there that he knows that he can come here and enhance the team, enhance the league. And I think the players that are there feed off that as well. You've got Callum McGregor, who has learned off Scott Brown. He's leading that team. Joe Hart coming in at the end of his career, really, but gets the club. And it's just, that is what then performs on the pitch. You know, if you mix all that together, this is what you're seeing on the pitch at the moment with Celtic.
Well, thank you to John Paul. 01419511025 is the number you need. John is a Rangers fan up next in Bridgeton. John, how are you feeling after Sunday?
I'm fine. I'm gutted with the result, but you can't play in a game of that magnitude. As I said to the producer there, you cannot play in a game of that magnitude with two of your front three, Morelos and Kent, non-existent, absolutely non-existent. Every time the midfielders was looking up to play a ball or playing the ball forward, it was bouncing back down them again. And the two of them should actually see, but honestly, the two of them, if Michael Beale managed to really put a stamp on his set, on that club, and I think he will, I would go in and tell them just to go pack up their stuff and go away and just enjoy the rest of their career somewhere else, and not have them about the place. They're not wanting to be there. One of the caller earlier on said there about, if you're not wanting to be in that club, away you go, on you go, because it was evident on Sunday there that they two are not interested. And when we're playing our biggest rivals, it's a scandal that, and they're picking up good money there at Ibrox. But if Michael Beale's signings, he'd been there 6 months. You know what I mean? He'd been there from November. He's made two good signings, Raskin and Cantwell. And if future signings is on that level, I think we're not a million miles. We're not a million miles away that a lot of people are quoting, won't be there in television. We're not, fair play, we're going to do the treble. But that's about two or three. He's turned it to the 4-0 rubbing that we go at Parkhead and we're getting near them. He needs to get a good win day. He needs to be back by the board. Really needs to be back by the board.
Well, I'll put that to Gordon first of all about Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos. Does Michael Beale have a big decision to make in terms of game time going forward for those two? Because he pretty much confirmed, you'd say, on Sunday that they're unlikely to stay beyond the summer. Is that a case now? I've seen Rangers fans calling for, you know, there to be big changes in the starting lineup, that the two of them, you know, John saying that they shouldn't play again for the club. How do you see the next few weeks going in relation to those two?
I think, honestly, he's got an easy decision for me. Look, I'm not going to sit here on Tuesday night after Sunday and say, well, he should never have played them, because I can understand why Michael Beale plays Morelos and Kent in these big games, because like every Rangers supporter who went along to Hampden watching, like Michael Beale, like everybody else, you're thinking, is this a day? Is this a day they're going to produce? Now, I will always say Ryan Kent has got good ability. Morelos on his day years ago, the sharpness, scoring goals, backing in, causing problems. They were bossed out the game at the weekend. Carter Vickers bossed Morelos all over the pitch. Kent looked like he was a bit, every time he got the ball, he was more interested where Johnson was rather than what he was going to do. So I think the Rangers fans are at the end of the line with the two guys. They've been good servants to Rangers. I think Morelos has been good for Rangers, scoring the goals and the way he's went. But there's times when he's either the goody or the baddie. And just now, he's run down his contract. He is going to leave, because you're not going to take the next gamble and say, yeah, we'll sign you in a new contract, because his wages will be, you know, very high. Kent's the same. Wages will be very high. Not worth it. I think Michael Beale, and I keep saying, I feel for him just now. He has to just get this season finished. He's got another couple of big games coming up, and obviously the one at Ibrox, because you do not want to finish the season and getting this thrown at you. You can't beat Celtic, because if you're a Celtic, or if you're a Rangers player, centre forward, the one thing they'll throw at you is you can score against everybody else, you can't score against Celtic. If you're a manager, it's the same. He's got to try and get a result. He's got to get to summer, and I agree with John. His transfer market is so important going forward.
Is it tougher maybe in relation to Alfredo Morelos in terms of just leaving two players out when you look at Rangers' injury situation?
Yeah.
Antonio Colak wasn't available at the weekend. Kamar Roof hasn't really been available all season. Fashion Sakala can play through the middle but didn't impress on Sunday. There aren't many options, are there, for the next few games for Michael Beale to play as a number nine?
No, there isn't. Morelos, for me, is still the best number nine at Rangers, but he's let himself down at times with his fitness. He's let himself down too many times. I mean, Gordon's saying there that Michael Beale, we think right today might be the day, but how many times has maybe Michael Beale sat in a dressing room and thought that about Morelos and Kent? They've not produced enough. Morelos has scored goals for Rangers over the years, I accept that, but in games like the weekend, John's quite right, they didn't do anything. And I think it is the end of the road for them. I'm not saying that for a headliner sensationalism. I think it is a right thing for both of these guys to move on, because as John picks up there as well, I don't think they want to be there anymore.
Because, Simon, I think you make a good point there about Morelos is still a bit. I think that's where Rangers are at this moment in time, right? See, we're still saying Morelos is still the best striker at Rangers, right? In the form and what he's shown. Kent's still the best off the left hand side at Rangers. However, it shows you the strength of going in the backup. So it tells me that the Sakalas, the Wrights, Matondo, I thought Matondo, come on, Luke Sharpman, whatever. But these sort of guys that you're talking about that are in the background just now, it shows you going forward, they ain't going to be the ones that are going to try and take you closer to Celtic. So you have to change it.
I think
it.
That might be the problem as well, Gordon. Subconsciously, Kent probably knew he's playing most weeks. Morelos, up until Colak came in at the start of the season, you look at the across the city then, if you want to compare, you've got guys there that if they're not doing it, there's three guys lined up for your position, that front three, even in the midfield. So I think maybe that's part of it as well, but I agree with Gordon. Kent would frustrate the life out of me if I was his manager, because he should be doing a lot more week in, week out.
John, you mentioned that you didn't think Rangers were a million miles away from Celtic. You obviously referenced the fact that you're happy with the signings of Raskin and Cantwell. Have you seen enough on the pitch from Rangers over the last few weeks and months to give you that confidence?
Check that performance here. If you had that, it's fine margins there in football, and if you had I tuned in defence where the goal was, and Sakala will, anybody knows what happens in that situation. But I just want to pick up on a point. The words, there was a couple of words there that Simon used, and that sums it up. Too many times. That's what it comes to. It's been too many times with him. We can't have it. It's too many times, too many. So they need to go, and they're out. And he's, their body language on Sunday, apart from their play, was deplorable. So it was. But, yeah, I'm quite confident, given that if he gets in, gets back, gets a couple of good quality signings in, and gets some working, he changed the game at a half-time on Sunday there, and turned the game to Celtic. So he did. And if you have to be truthful as a football man, it was looking like if Rangers were equalised, they were on the ascendancy. But again, that's fine margins in football. So you've just got to take it in the chin. As I say, he's only been there 6 months. Need to give him a wee chance, give him a wee bit of money to buy some his own players in, make his own mark on that team, and make it own in the dress in the club with some ruthless decisions. And again, as I said at the beginning, my first one would be to say to they two, just track on and just don't stay here away from Murray Park and go and catch yours or trade with them. Just get away. We're building for the future now, and we don't need bad decks like that. But else has been happy. A few managers, you got away with Steven Gerrard, he's carry on. So he did, undermining him. But he can't be left to go to Fester again with another manager, that's all.
Well, thank you to John. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call now and you could be up next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Get your calls in on 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Let's go straight back to the phones because Ian is a Celtic fan in Greenock up next. Ian, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi there, Andrew. How you doing, Simon? And how you doing, Gordon?
Good, Ian. Good, thank you.
I'm good. Just counting hours. I got on that plane to Manorus. For my summer, well, not my summer holidays, my birthday holiday. We get away every May. My birthday's on Saturday, my missus is the following week. So, but anyway, but Sunday, it wasn't a blockbuster. Celtic done enough. Looking at a couple of injuries, I knew about Cameron Carter-Vickers. I thought he'd have been out before the semi-final. Obviously, he scared Ange Postecoglou, telling him he wanted to play, but that's a bit of banter, that. But we're playing relentless football at the moment, and John Paul was talking at the top of the show, Andrew, about assets wanting to go, the three players that he mentioned, Christie, Aya, and Ozan Edward. They were all under contract, but they still brought money in. I've just looked across the city. Rangers have let contracts run down, i.e. Ryan Kent and Morelos. They're not going to get any money for them now. It's free transfers. Whereas Celtic went out and replaced the three players. Now, you think on it last year, guys, Gordon and Simon, Celtic had lost their first three games, the first six games, and the pundits and the media had Ange sacked by December. He turned the league on its head on the February and went top of the league. Done a double, could have been a treble. Now it's looking like his first treble in Scottish football. And he's took Celtic to a new dimension with this group of players that he inherited and brought in. What do you think, guys?
Well, I'll go to the Rangers point. I agree with you that Rangers must be kicking themselves. And it's okay in hindsight now, because you didn't think that Kent and Morelos probably run down their contracts. You didn't think that their form would slump to the way it has. But they're walking out. They paid, what, is it 7 million round about that? Mm-hmm. I think 3 or something for Morelos.
It was only 1 million, I think.
1 million?
Yeah.
So you're looking at 8 million quid. And at one point, and you can say whatever they were in good demand. You know, I know that Morelos was linked to every club and going about, but they were in good demand because they were scoring goals. Kent was in fire, especially in the European campaign, and that's where you get noticed in the European scene. I think if you're now in the Rangers, you're in the Rangers camp, you're sitting back, you're thinking, I wish we'd cashed in when the time was right. But look, there's no point worrying about it because there's big changes at Rangers. You look at the chairman stepping down. You look at Ross Wilson, Robertson going.
Another one today as well, Craig Mulholland, who's the academy director, announced he's leaving as well.
Yeah, so for the Rangers fans, the hopefully is positive with the changes and new ideas and different ways of going about it. But that was a mistake. There's no doubt it was a real bad mistake letting guys like that contract and obviously running down, losing the money. But another side of the city there, that Celtic do their business very well, and Simon touched on it early. Postecoglou in the transfer windows has always been one step ahead. You know, he's been on the ball very, very quickly, and that's where I think that Michael Beale will have to earn his corn. Forget about this season. He's got that massive game against Celtic at Ibrox again, but his corn will need to be made in the summer, Andrew. There'll be a big turnaround. You look at the amount of faces that's going to go out the door. It's not just Morelos and Kent. There's a lot, the contract goalkeepers and everything. So he's got a lot of new faces to bring in, and they've got to be the right ones.
You wonder, it can be sort of spun both ways, Simon, with the work that Michael Beale has to do. People will think, you know, it's a huge job. There's going to be a lot of upheaval because a lot of players will be leaving. Or will Michael Beale see it as, well, look, this is what he wants. He wants players to leave, the sort of old guard to leave, so he has more of a clean slate to work with and bring in his own players.
Yeah, I think so. I think a freshen up for Rangers. I think Morelos and Kent, as I said earlier, I think it's naturally came to the end of the road. It's an unfortunate position for Rangers that they're not going to capitalise on any sort of transfer fees that they could have did a couple of years ago. But that's by the by. It's water under the bridge. I think he has to focus on the challenge ahead. And as Gordon says there, recruitment, getting his own players in. It won't be any concern to any Rangers fan about Kent Morelos moving on, but it's probably best for both parties, I think. They look as if they're ready to move. And Rangers need freshened up, and he needs to bring his own
guys in. Do you know where this all goes away with the talk and the negativity about Morelos and Kent? If they can do what Postecoglou's, and I keep harping on about him, right, because he's been brilliant, you can't knock him back. Juranovic, I thought, was a terrific footballer, right? And the Celtic fans were about, oh, don't want him to leave. Never ever talk about him now, because the right back that they've gotten is brilliant.
Yeah.
Giakoumakis has went away. They've not missed him. They brought O and O. Now, he's got a bit to go, but he looks one for the future. So that's where Michael Beale has got to get this right, so that in 3-4 months or whenever the season starts and Rangers hit the ground running, people don't talk about Kent. They don't talk about Morelos. They're talking about the new signers.
And he's been prolific in the transfer window from the minute he came in, Postecoglou. So there's trust there now. I mean, as I say, I wasn't overly concerned. Yes, I liked Juranovic. I thought Giakoumakis brought something to the party as well. But I wasn't too concerned when they left, because I looked at what this guy had already did the previous transfer window, when he brought in Maeda, Hatate, O'Reilly, that gave the team an immediate lift. These weren't the guys that were going to come and sit on the bench. They came straight in and affected the team positively. So when you look at his record up until now, you put your trust in him a wee bit. And that is the challenge at the other side of the city. Michael Beale has to go and do that now for Rangers at the turn of this season.
Yeah, will that give Celtic fans a lot of comfort that if there are clubs that come in for some of their top players this summer, you would expect that there would be interest because of the way they've been playing, that, you know, Ange Postecoglou will have players lined up ready to come in?
That is the model at Celtic, and you can't get away from it. We play in Scotland, you know, Rangers and Celtic play in Scotland. They don't have the finance, so they have to go and discover gems, and then if they do well, that attracts interest. We've seen it before with certain players moving on. But with this guy, I just think he's always got that next, you know, what's next? If that person's going, how can I replace him? And even now, when the team are growing and getting stronger, it's natural as well. We just want to strengthen this team. So it's interesting moving forward what he does with the recruitment next, because it's been so successful up until now.
Well, thank you to Ian. But now it's time for this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Yes, time for Beat the Pundit. Time to pit your wits against either Simon Donnelly or Gordon DL. So make sure to phone us before 7 o'clock, 01419511025. Your chance to win a signed ball, the bragging rights. But not only that, because the caller that gets through will also get two tickets to an exciting event that Simon can tell us a bit more about.
Yeah, May the 12th. We've done a couple of shows before. It's our team, or my team from 98, that managed to keep the Lisbon Lions record alive, the nine in a row. So it's that team. It's a show at the Armadillo. We have certain players on the stage. We've invited the full squad to it, so it should be a really good night. I think, to give you a couple of names, Mark Reaper, Martin Vekhorst, Harold Bratback are all going to be part of it. So yeah, a couple of tickets.
So I think I'm facing a Celtic supporter tonight and be the bunner. I'm not too sure.
Well, if it's a Rangers fan that gets through, I'm sure you might know someone that you'd be able to give the tickets to. But there we go. 01419511025. Get your call in before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. In the first hour, we are taking a look back at that semi-final on Sunday. Celtic and Rangers fans giving their opinion on it and what's to come as well for the rest of the season and the summer. So let's hear from you on 0141 951 1025. We will hear a bit from Barry Robson as well after he was appointed manager, permanent manager of Aberdeen. He's spoken for the first time today, so we'll hear a bit from him. But before all that, it's time to do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, time for Beat the Pundit. How are your recent record? How's the form, Gordon?
I was in real poor form, and then just the usual, I just come back strong last week with a 5-2, 5-3. Five. Easy victory.
But five's not good by the recent standards. Mark Wilson got a 7 last night.
7?
7.
What was it, A or
one
B?
7-3.
It must have been multiple choice for him to get a 7.
So that's not too bad. Simon, how are you?
I get beat last week. I haven't been on for a wee bit. I get beat last week. And
we'll be looking for you inside.
Three or four guys giving me stick during the week.
Right, well, up tonight is Luke. So Luke, who would you rather face?
Probably Daz. Simon's probably still got to say a read with me for celebrating on Sunday. So
I told you who would be on. Celtic supporter.
There we go as well. And on top of that as well, Luke is a Celtic fan. It means that you will get the pair of tickets to go to the event Simon was talking about. Are you looking forward to that, Luke?
Aye, absolutely. Yeah, it should be good.
Good stuff. Right, what I will do is I will flip a coin. It will be heads for Gordon DL, tails for Simon Donnelly. And you get your wish. It is Gordon DL. Yes.
No. Oh. It's always heads, always tails. It has been for 12 years of my career.
I'm in charge here. It's you. You're on tonight.
You're in charge.
Do you want me to do it again and your tails?
I'll do it again. You want me job permanently? You can't even toss a coin, right?
I'll do it again and your tails. And it's tails. There we go. It's Gordon DL. What a shame. The thing is, I was actually just going to lie there as well and say it was Gordon DL either way, but it genuinely was tails. Right, okay. So I will switch Gordon so he can hear Greatest Hits Radio. There we go. He's giving me the thumbs up. So, Luke, the rules are 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions correctly as possible. Remember, you can pass if you don't know the answer as well. Is that all good?
Yep, okay.
Right, here we go. Name any Rangers player who joined in the most recent January transfer window.
Nico Raskin.
Who was the last Celtic manager to finish a season unbeaten against Rangers?
Brendan Rodgers.
Which Scottish Premiership side have conceded the most goals at home this season?
Kilmarnock.
Who did Inverness beat in the Scottish Cup final in 2015?
Falkirk.
Name any country that Scotland have been drawn against in the inaugural Women's Nations League.
England.
How many times has Jota scored in the Champions League?
Twice.
Okay, right. I'll bring Gordon DL back in. Can you hear me loud and
clear? I can, loud and clear, Andrew.
Good stuff, right. 30 seconds on the clock, starting. Name any Rangers player who joined in the most recent January transfer window.
Tillman.
Who was the last Celtic manager to finish a season unbeaten against Rangers?
Brendan Rodgers.
Which Scottish Premiership side conceded the most goals at home this season?
At home, Ross County.
Who did Inverness beat in the Scottish Cup final in 2015?
They beat Falkirk.
Name any country that Scotland have been drawn against in the inaugural Women's Nations
England.
League. How many times has Jota scored in the Champions League?
Once.
Right, once. Luke, how do you feel you got on?
No bad. I think I might have messed up one of the questions, but
one of them.
Well, I think that Gordon DL may well have messed up the very first question. Name any Rangers player who joined in the most recent January transfer window.
Oh, they're asking her, Ed Canmill.
Yes, and you said Malik Tillman.
Oh no, I didn't mean that.
Luke said Nicholas Raskin. So it goes 1-0 to Luke. Who was the last Celtic manager to finish a season unbeaten against Rangers? Brendan Rodgers is correct. In the 2017-18 season, you both got that correct. So goes 2-1 to Luke. Which Scottish Premiership side have conceded the most goals at home this season? Luke went for Kilmarnock. You went for Ross County. The answer is Dundee United. They've conceded 29 goals. Ross County have conceded 27, Kilmarnock 24. Right. So it remains 2-1 to Luke. Who did Inverness beat in the Scottish Cup final in 2015? Of course, it was Falkirk. You both got that correct. So it's 3-2 to Luke. Now, name any country that Scotland have been drawn against in the inaugural Women's Nations
England
League.
England or Holland?
England, Holland and Belgium. I think you both said England. So
he get that as well?
Yeah. He got that as well. So that is 4-3, is that correct?
Yeah,
4-3 to Luke. And you both got one more question in.
What is the question?
How many times has Jota scored in the Champions League?
Many.
You said one, Luke said two.
I think it's
he scored against
Real Madrid
in Leipzig.
And RB Leipzig. Luke knows his stuff. That means that it is a 5-3 win for Luke. He wins by two.
I can't believe you've given him all Celtic questions.
The first question was literally name any Rangers player who joined in the most recent January
question?
Transfer window.
What was the second
last
question?
Last Celtic manager to finish
Celtic.
A season unbeaten.
What was the last question?
Jota.
Jota, yeah. Celtic.
Well, you know what?
Which team does Luke support Celtic?
If you'd gone a bit quicker,
Simon,
maybe you would have got
Celtic.
More variety of questions. He's a real gracious loser, Luke, as you can hear. But congratulations to Luke. Well done. The signed ball will be on the way to you. And of course, you have those tickets as well for a night I'm sure you will enjoy. So
well done,
congratulations
Luke.
To Luke. There we go. So that's it. You'll need to bounce back next time, Gordon.
Ah, do you know something?
What did that finish there? 5-3.
I've got to say, very disappointed. I cannot, because I was talking about Cantwell and Raskin, right? I can't believe I messed up that.
I think Tillman was out. I could tell by your face you knew it was wrong.
I knew it was wrong right away. I tried to get it back in, but I couldn't. But I've got to say, I'm not too disappointed with my performance.
A three, really?
Well, you think about it. The goals at home was tricky.
That is a tough question, I'll
right.
give you that.
So I got the rest and one or two at the end, Jota. I'll need to check that. I'm sure one was a deflection.
Right, anyway. Picture the Leipzig goal. Can't quite.
Nobody can. Mm. You just gave. And plus the fact I was tails, he was heads.
We did it twice. It was you both times.
Nah.
There we go. Anyway. Obviously a gracious in defeat as ever, Gordon DL. Right, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Dell, who's a Rangers fan in Edinburgh. Dell, the dust has settled on Sunday. How are you feeling about it now?
I feel fine. I'm feeling fine. How are you doing? I'm a supporter, so I want to support the Rangers players and the club. I've been listening and hearing all this negativity and bitterness about how Ryan Kent and Morelos need to go, we need to get rid of these players and all this nonsense, you know. But you know, I'm on to support, and people forget that.
First of all, Dale, just when you say nonsense, would you rather keep them, or is just not a discussion you'd be wanting to have?
Well, it's I would rather they were still at the club, but they're obviously going to move on. But what I'm on to talk about is the Rangers supporters and fans that are, you know, the way they're talking about these players, and I just don't get it, because the way I see it is without Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos, we wouldn't have been able to stop Celtic getting 10 in a row. And for me, that's what it was all about. And we managed to do that with an unbeaten season. We went unbeaten throughout the entire season. And then we went to the Europa League final. And Alfredo Morelos is our all-time top goal scorer in Europe. And I just don't understand when I hear Rangers supporters on saying, get rid, and just, you know, let them go, and, you know, we don't want them, and things like that. I just don't get it. And while I'm on as well,
We'll take that point first, Del, and I'll let you come back in with your second point. Del's talking there about, you know, coming to the end for Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent, more about sort of the language that's been used and how their time at Rangers is being remembered by Rangers fans. What do you make of it, Gordon? Because there's obviously a lot of Rangers fans that feel their time has come to an end, but people may go to extremes. But they have had success in their time at Rangers as well. But does this summer just feel like a sort of natural parting of ways?
Yeah, 100%. I said, and Simon backed it up earlier about, you know, the goal scoring efforts Morelos has had throughout the seasons, the European. Ken, I said, was a very talented player. But you can't just stand still. And even, I think it was Conor Goldstone that came out and said, look, after we had that terrific league win and going on to better, we stood still instead of moving on. That's what you've got to do, especially if you're a club the size of Rangers. And when you're sitting there watching, you know, Celtic probably going on to lift a treble this year, then you think, yes, there's time for change. Now, the thing is, if they'd have tied up Morelos and Kent probably last season, I think Rangers fans would have been quite happy with a bit of business. Unfortunately, they've not done that. They're now coming in for criticism from the Rangers supporters about running down their contract. Now, I don't see them every single week live. I'm in the studio doing the show. It's the Rangers supporters that are giving us information about how they feel about them. Look, have they been a big part of Rangers in the last few years with the European success, with winning the title? Of course they have. And I don't think you can take that away from them. You'll look at McGregor, who's been a magnificent servant. This will be his last year. Davis as well. So there's a lot of players there. It's come to the end of their career. Because I think now Rangers, as Conor Goldson said, they need to try and kick on. And it's freshness now they need in the club. And I think everybody would agree. By the way, the two players might be thinking to themselves, you know what, my time's up here. I need a fresh challenge to go elsewhere as well.
When players come to the end of their contract, I suppose every player is different, but can it have an effect on how they are on the pitch? Is it something that can play on players' minds, whether it's subconsciously at times?
Possibly. I can only go back to my time. I'd already decided I was going to Sheffield Wednesday for 6 months at Celtic, but I didn't treat my job any differently in that 6 months. You look back to, I'll talk about the Celtic players like Edward and stuff like that. His form kind of dipped, you know, all that uncertainty. But I always think as a player, if you're wanting to move or if you're whatever, you want to perform week in, week out. That can only help your situation. As far as Del's points, I think we touched on it earlier on. I said Morelos, for me, is still the best striker there. It's not to ignore anything that he's did at the club. Ryan Kent was one kick of the ball away from being an absolute hero for Rangers in the Europa League final last year. But sometimes it's just a natural thing that happens, you know. And for me, I just, one of the other callers touched on the body language. I think they maybe have it in their minds that they're moving on, and that's just the way of it. And I think this will be an opportunity, I think, for Michael Beale to go out and put his own stamp on it. But what I will say is, look, Gordon said McGregor, Davis, Morelos, Kent, these are four of the biggest Rangers' biggest players over the last period. So these are going to have to be replaced.
Dale, what was your next point you wanted to make?
Yeah, Simon, I agree with you there. And but what I'm on to say is that I'm a supporter, and I support the players from the start of their Rangers career to the end of their Rangers career. You know, whatever way that goes. But, you know, for them to achieve the season unbeaten to stop Celtic winning 10 in a row, for me, that's, I'll never forget them. But can I just say while I'm on it, I don't think there's been enough spoken about it. Our captain, James Tavernier, scored his 100th and his 101st goal at Parkhead in Celtic. And he almost got a hat-trick that day. And I would just like to congratulate James Tavernier for being he will become a Rangers legend. But I just want to let people know that I'm a supporter. I support the players and all this nonsense about, you know, the way they're talking, negativity and that. I just don't get it. You know, we're supposed to support our club and our teams and our players. You know, and if we have a bad season, we have a bad season. What are we expected to beat Celtic every single time? Are we expected to win every single trophy? Nah, it doesn't work like that. But I'm just on tonight to let the Rangers fans know that I'm a true supporter.
Dale says, you know, it doesn't work like that, but does it work like that in this City Gordon DL? Because that is what Celtic and Rangers are judged on, essentially, is how they compare to the other team, and that is how people will view it. And yes, as Dale says, you know, if Rangers, you know, don't win a trophy this season, it's not going to be the end of the world. Everything's still going to keep on spinning, but you know, Rangers fans will, you know, be unhappy at that outcome this season.
Of course they were. First and foremost, I admire Dale coming on and saying about supporting his team, supporting the players, and it's brilliant to hear. He's just a football supporter through thick and thin, through good and bad. But unfortunately, when you are at a club the size of Rangers and you've got the club the size of Celtic, the competition is, we all know how big and how fierce it is, Andrew. And someone's got to be in top. And when it's the ones that are chasing the team in top, they're the ones that come under pressure from everyone, the supporters, because they demand so much. For Rangers and Celtic, it's all about winning trophies. I know what Dale's saying there about, well, we're not really bothered about winning a trophy this year. It's about supporting. Celtic are going on to win a treble. There's not many Rangers supporters sitting back thinking, well, it's all about supporting the players and the club. It's about winning for Rangers. It should be a winning mentality. That's the way it is for those the two clubs. But where I will echo, and sometimes you come in for a bit of criticism on this show, I totally agree with him with Tavernier. I think Tavernier comes in for a hard time. Defensively sometimes, and I know what people will be saying, well, have a look at him on Sunday, he's ball watching, Jota come in. But over the piece, what Tavernier's given Rangers, I think he's been absolutely brilliant for them.
You touched on it earlier, Simon, just about the rebuild job that Michael Beale has to do. He said after the game on Sunday that it will be the biggest rebuild that Rangers have seen in a number of years.
Yeah.
Just how big is the scale of that? Because you'd expect that they're probably going to need a new number one goalkeeper. It looks as if that could be Jack Butland, because there's, you know, a lot of speculation that that deal is close. But if you've got Morelos leaving, you've got Kent leaving, several other players as well that are running out of contract, just how big a job does Michael Beale have in his hands?
Well, we're touching on Morelos and Kent not bringing enough to their game at this particular moment, but you look back, as Dale touched on there, what they've brought to the Rangers over the last few years. Morelos, is he not the top European striker for them now in terms of goal return? So these are big guys, or big shoes to fill, really, moving forward. I just feel it's a natural end of that road for these two now, and an opportunity for Rangers to go and rebuild. But yeah, you're quite right, the goalkeeper as well, huge experience, huge character over the years for Rangers, been a really big player. So these are all guys that are going to have to be replaced.
But see, the biggest rebuilding, sorry Simon, just to throw one in, and I'd be very interested in what the Rangers supporters have got to say about this. Tillman, for instance, right now, there's a massive decision to be made, because what is it, 5 million clause?
Yeah, around
around
that.
Around 5, and probably not. You'll not have the greatest budget in the world. I think you'll free up players for wages, but I think Rangers are starting to look at the market to try to get some, you know, some good bargains in there. But would the Rangers fans be sitting here thinking, is it 5 million to blow on Tillman?
How much Rangers spend in the summer is a big one, because Michael Beale said in a press conference a few weeks ago that essentially they talked about budgets for this summer, and the way he'd looked at it is that the budget he's been given, he feels is very good in comparison to what Rangers have had, what other Rangers managers have had in previous years. So it will be interesting to see what kind of budget Michael Beale is working with, because he's come out openly and said that himself.
Yeah. Listen, I think Michael Beale, I hope he is backed very well, Andrew. I think that if you get in there, and probably he's went into the promise, look, just get to the summer, we've got to do a rebuilding job. This is where we are just now. We've got a lot of players got to leave. We've got a lot of players out of contract. Players come to the end of their careers as well. But my big question mark is, out of that budget, is the chunk of 5 million for Tillman? Has Tillman done enough for that 5 million for me?
Well, thank you to Dale. Let's hear from you after the break. 01419511025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025 if you want to get involved, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. The normal Tuesday dream team has been split. Where is Mark Wilson?
Oh, I know where,
he
is.
Oh, where is he?
Ah, he's off in his jollies as usual down at the Ayrshire coast at Tubbury.
Oh, hanging about with Donald Trump, is he?
He's down there with DD.
Is that how you know him? Yeah,
yeah. Uh-huh.
You guys quite close.
I'm glad I got that one right.
Yeah, this is the second time I've split that pairing up.
I know.
Two or three weeks.
People will be asking questions, by the way.
Yeah, he's away down there, embarrassing himself playing golf.
I was just thinking, he got that photo a few months ago with Mel Gibson, didn't he? Were we expecting to see a wee selfie of Mark Wilson and Donald Trump?
I think if that was the case, it'd been flashing on my phone as we speak. But
they had to put in all their details. Any of the golfers going down there today? Because Donald Trump.
Security reasons. Yep. Well, I'm back in on Thursday actually, so we can ask Mark all about it Thursday and see how that went. Right, let's have a look at this full time teaser, shall we? Let's get this one underway. Of course, fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to send this in. This one has been sent in by Chris, and he says Celtic and Inverness last played each other in the 2016-17 season. Can you name all 8 Celtic scorers from the 4 games that season?
What year did you say?
2016-17. So I need the name of 8 Celtic players who scored against Inverness that season. Correct. Lee Griffiths is one of those.
Dembele
is correct as well. I'll take
Chris Commons there.
Chris Commons is incorrect. I'll take one more from you, Simon.
Christie.
Ryan Christie did not score against Inverness. Maybe, right, you've got 2 of the 8. Celtic and Inverness last played each other in the 2016-17 season. Can you name
and
all
Cham.
8 Celtic scorers? Olivier and Cham, no. Right, we'll get back to this one. Let's go to
Forrest.
The phones. James Forrest is also a no, so I would maybe just sit there and think about it for a bit instead of just throwing out wrong answers. Right, let's go to John, who's a Celtic fan in the East End. John, how are you feeling a couple of days on from that game at the weekend?
Hi, how you doing, Andrew? Simon, Gordon, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, good. I think being a Celtic fan right now, it can only be good. Because everything Ange touches right now turns to gold. So yeah, all good. The point I was wanting to make though was this tour that's been that was sort of announced today for Japan and South Korea. Just thinking that in itself, not that Celtic are not obviously a huge club and known throughout the world anyway, but I don't know. It's kind of a bit of an unknown commodity, the fact that sort of that the Asia side of things. I know we had sort of a little dabble there with Nakamura and stuff like that, but the fact that we have so many now, so many Japanese players and obviously from South Korea, I just think it's going to be an amazing thing for Celtic, and it's really going to put Celtic on a map in Asia.
Yeah, if you missed this news today, it is that Celtic will be doing a pre-season tour of Japan and South Korea. I think they sort of announced them separately. First of all, it was Japan, and then they did an announcement video with O about the South Korea leg of this pre-season tour that they're doing. But the way that John's talking about it, Simon, it is a big marketing opportunity as well, because it's obviously a market Ange Postecoglou knows very well. He's worked over there. He has brought over several players from Japan. He's now gone to South Korea and brought in O as well. If you look, I think Celtic have started their own sort of Celtic Japan Twitter page as well, which is all in Japanese, that has over 80,000 followers as well. So it shows that they are, you know, using this as a marketing opportunity as well, which, you know, a lot of big clubs around the world do.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I seen that today, I was hoping that the Celtic TV have got a budget for me to go with them to that, because it looks amazing. But yeah, I said earlier on in the show, if you'd said this time 2 years ago, Celtic have been down a route, but it's because of the guy that's come in. He worked in that field. He knew these players from either playing against them or working in his team. He knew what they could bring to Celtic, and I think it's been refreshing, exciting, you know, to see these guys coming in alongside O, who's not had a lot of game time yet, the South Korean. So this is a big marketing opportunity as well to spread the word. I'd imagine the Japanese side will be very interested in having so many players at the one club. It's unusual anywhere in Europe, I believe. So it's captured the imagination, and you know, I think this will be a fantastic opportunity for Celtic to go to Asia and spread the word there and have a successful pre-season or whatever it is they're going for.
Yeah, because we saw it with the Sydney Super Cup as well during the World Cup break that Celtic went off to, that Rangers almost went off to, and then that was cancelled as well. But it's these opportunities that Celtic are trying to make the most of.
Oh yeah, it makes common sense for me. I'm not surprised with it. I think that there'll be a lot of Celtic fans very excited about it, Andrew. Great for publicity as well, you know, spreading the word out there about Celtic, and probably a lot of people out there know about the club as well. Anyway, because of the way Ange Postecoglou's come over and brought over these sort of players as well, and the impact that they've made in Scotland. So yeah, it makes perfect sense for me, and I'm sure everyone's looking forward to that.
We were talking quite a bit about Yuki Kobayashi earlier on, John. If I can ask you about Tomoki Iwata. He's a player that's, you know, maybe had to wait for his opportunities. He started a couple more games. He's been coming off the bench for a few more minutes of late. Is he a player that you're excited to see what he can really offer next season once he's got a pre-season under his belt?
Yeah, I really do, actually. I kind of get the feeling he's kind of been moulded into, like, potentially maybe even another Hitati. Plays a kind of very similar role. They actually look very similar as well on the park. Sometimes it's quite difficult from a distance to tell who's who, because of the stature and the sort of build that they have. But yeah, I'm very excited about that. And Kobayashi as well. He might not be the tallest of defenders, but I think it was something that Gordon said earlier or earlier on the show about how Carter Vickers just brings all these players to kind of out their shell and brings them to the forefront of, well, obviously everybody's from what they can see. And I don't have any issues at all with any of the signings. It's just a shame that Iriguchi didn't. Obviously, that didn't work. Everything that seems to be happening that Ange has brought to the club, whether it's came from Japan or Asia or whatever, really, for that matter, has worked. So it can only be a good thing.
Yeah, in terms of the success rate of players that have come over from Asia so far, I think we're still to see, you know, the likes of Tomoki Iwata and Yuki Kobayashi and because they were all January signings, they've still got a bit left to show. Ange Postecoglou said that he feels they'll show their best selves after the summer once they've had a pre-season. But Celtic fans will be, you know, really happy with the players that have come in so far. Yes, John talks about Ediguchi, and that one was maybe seen as a bit more of a risk and hasn't worked out. But you just look at, you know, the success of Kyogo and Hitati and Maeda, the way it's worked out, and they've become such key players for Celtic.
They have. It's phenomenal that, you know, they've almost come in. Well, they have. They've come into the club and hit the ground immediately. Kyogo last year, I think 20 goals and was out for a period of that season. Maeda and Hitati coming in. I think Hitati dropped off towards the end of the season because, you know, he'd been playing in the Japanese season and just burnt out a little bit. But you've seen the best of him this year, getting better and better up until he picked up that injury. Maeda is just a machine, you know. I don't know what else. It's just perpetual motion. Every game he just does not stop, as they like to talk about. I think he's kicked on for the World Cup. But these guys are huge, huge success, almost immediately for Celtic. Iwata, he won the Player of the Year last year, so I like him. But at the moment, he's finding it, you know, having to push people like McGregor. Moy had a great period there in the team. O'Reilly seems to be one of the favourites of the big games. So Iwata's got that challenge to go and do it. But he's shown in games, he's tidy, and he just has to go and stamp his authority on it. Kobayashi's opportunities have been limited as well. So I think these guys will kick on. You know, hasn't had a lot of game time, but you just look at the other ones. The three that I mentioned first are unbelievable, how the impact they made almost immediately for Celtic. And that's the challenge for the other ones there, to go and try and get into the team.
The thing about Ange Postecoglou, it takes a lot of compliments for the transfer market and the Asian side of it. But see, when you look as well, you look at the impact Moy, O'Reilly, for instance, had. So he's got more strings to his bow. It's yeah. not just that market. He knows different markets as well, that he can bring in players that's going to influence his team.
Yeah, and I think Celtic fans will be excited to see whether Ange Postecoglou has anything else up his sleeve in terms of players from the Asian market, whether it's the J-League, whether it's the K-League, you know, how many players he'll be able to find and unearth and bring over to Europe.
But Gordon touches on Moy. Obviously, he worked with the Australian team, so it's unusual because he's worked in different fields. You go back to my time, Wim Jansen came from Japan as well, but he'd already worked with a certain Henrik Larsson at Feyenoord, so he knew what he was getting. This is how it happens. You know, you go back to people that you can see that can come and have a positive effect, you know, and it always, I think a manager always looks at people that he's worked with before, or, as I say, maybe up against, and he's got an eye for it. You know, and his success rate has been ridiculous up until now.
John, just speaking sort of generally, looking over the next few weeks as a Celtic fan, how exciting is the prospect of the next few weeks, the chance to win the title at Tynecastle this Sunday, a Scottish Cup final against Inverness on the horizon as well?
Yeah, like I said right at the start of the call, everything is just great at the moment. I think one of the guys, one of the callers earlier mentioned that the fact that there's a feel-good factor that is kind of all over Celtic at the moment. It doesn't matter what we do. Even if we go to Tynecastle on Saturday and not win, okay, we would like to win. My personal preference, I'd rather win at Ibrox. But it's just the whole thing. It's the fact that excuse me, I don't think there's a Celtic fan anywhere that doesn't like Ange Postecoglou. And it's just this feel-good factor. We go into every game thinking we're going to win. Whether we do or not is irrelevant. We just have this unbelievable confidence. And I'm hoping that we can bring next season with maybe a couple of signings in the summer. I'm not entirely sure where we would actually put them or where we need to strengthen. That's maybe a call for the future, but I'm hoping next year we can maybe make some sort of dent in Europe. I'm not saying we're going to go out there and win the Champions League. That's ridiculous. The same with the UEFA Cup. But I'm just saying make some sort of dent this year, because last year we went in with such promise and ended up with very little really at the end of it. And I would just like to take that sort of dominance that we have in Scotland right now, take that into Europe and make it work.
Yeah, is that the next step for Ange Postecoglou, Simon, is the European side of things? Because yeah. a lot of Celtic fans enjoyed what they saw in terms of style of play against, you know, teams in the Champions League group stages. But is the next step going in and being competitive in terms of results and seeing what they can do in that regard?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that will be at the forefront of Ange Postecoglou's mind as well. How can he take this club even further? And for that, it has to come out that group stage. Can they go to the group stage and get out it? I think, as John says there, it's unrealistic for clubs of Celtic stature because of where we are in Scotland and the finances to go and win things like this. But you look at other countries like Portugal, and I think Belgium teams are coming out their groups. So I think that's the challenge for Celtic this year. I like the way they went about it last year, you know, taking the game to teams. I like that. I like that style. Yes, they took a couple of heavy defeats, but I think there is a way of losing games. I'd much rather see that than, you know, sitting in camped in for a 0-0. I think the Celtic fans would as well. But that is the challenge, to go and progress and stamp some sort of, make some sort of mark in Europe.
Well, thank you to John. Let's get on with this full-time teaser. Celtic and Inverness last played each other in the 2016-17 season. Can you name all 8 Celtic scorers from the 4 games that campaign? So you've got so far Moussa Dembele and Lee Griffiths.
I've got 12.
You've got 12.
Yeah,
right.
I've got the 4 and June the 3rd as well.
I'd like you to maybe pick tactically instead of just throwing loads of names at me.
Callum McGregor.
Scott Sinclair must be one.
Callum McGregor is not one. Scott Sinclair is one.
Brown.
Scott Brown, yes.
I see you. You ignored me.
Well done.
Right.
So we've got 4.
I'll take one more from each of you.
Lustig.
Mikael Lustig, correct. One more from you.
My favourite player, I found him at Dundee United, Armstrong.
Stuart Armstrong.
Must be.
Correct.
Must be.
You only have two more to go. We'll get the rest after this. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. There is a bit of work to do on the full time teaser, but you've only got two answers left, so I think I'll leave that until the end. We can get on to that. A couple of things I wanted to touch on from today. You did hear it in the Beat the Pundit, actually. Scotland's women have found out their Nations League group for the inaugural Nations Women's Nations League. We're drawn against England, Netherlands and Belgium. I mean, Scotland were in pot four, but I think 4th, 8th and 19th, all above Scotland in the world rankings. It's maybe not ideal.
No, a tough one. But again, you want to play against the best teams, don't you? And the old enemy are in there as well, so that adds a wee bit of spice to that.
Yeah, certainly will be good games against England and Netherlands and Belgium. So we'll look forward to those as well. Do you see as well, Graham Dorans is back playing as well.
Was he?
Signed a contract for...
For who?
Johnston Borough in the 7th tier.
Wow.
Back playing, right?
Brilliant. Listen...
To be fair, he only finished up, what was it, last summer at Dunfermline when he left?
What age would he be? 35?
I don't know, but I'm just thinking back to my time at Partick, either coaching or playing. He was... Was he at Livy? Did he start at Livy?
Yes, started at Livy. Yes.
Yeah. That was... many moons ago, so he must be.
Ah, listen, he must just have the love of football.
You find some players like that though that just want to keep on playing for as long as possible, and
absolutely no chance. I could not wait for a career to finish.
Yeah,
I tried to
finish mine at 21. What age was I when I was player manager at Ayr when I was 34, and I played about 2 or 3 games? And I thought, nah.
I was 35.
Not enough for me.
Yeah,
I've entertained enough.
Oh well, we'll see what Graham Dorans can do at Johnston Borough. Let's take a look at Barry Robson, actually, shall we? Because he was appointed the, of course, permanent manager of Aberdeen. No real shock there, given the impact he's had since he came in.
Just looking at the table there up on the wall, it's all green, which signals win after win. Their form has been great. They've actually opened up a gap on Hearts, who more or less a few weeks back would have been third. Everybody would have fancied them for third, but Aberdeen have turned that round. Since that disappointment at Darvel, Barry's come in and done a great job, and it's great to see him rewarded with a permanent role.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think every Aberdeen fan will be happy with the news. They've got a good setup now. Alan Burrow's gone up there from Motherwell. We know about the job he done at Motherwell. Terrific. He's a good pair of hands up there. Barry Robson, he's looked at his results, he's looked at the way he's transformed the club lately, and he feels going forward he's a right man. We wish him all the best.
Yeah, well, he was speaking today for the first time since he was appointed as permanent manager. He anticipates a busy summer as he plans an overhaul of his squad. Of course, signed a 2-year contract yesterday. 7 successive wins he's had since he took over. Of course, there was a win against Rangers at Pittodrie as well. He says he's confident he can help build something special.
What I want to do is just win football matches, and I know it sounds very simple to say, but it's very hard to do. And we need to do that. You'll never hear me shouting from the rooftops when things are going well. You'll never hear me shouting from the rooftops when things are not going so well. Balance is a huge word in football, and you need to make sure you do that right throughout everything that you're trying to achieve, whether that's recruitment, whether that's winning football matches, whatever it is. That's what my focus is totally on, for the football club and for the players and for the staff. So we will be built on hard work. That's the way I was as a player and a person. That's the way I was brought up. So, and when you do that, you've got a chance to do well.
Yeah, promoting from within, it's a real trend at the moment, isn't it? You're seeing it not only up here but down south as well. A lot of clubs are doing it. There is mixed success, but we've seen with Motherwell, it's done really well with Stuart Kettlewell. You know, they went from a point where they were in a real relegation scrap to very much safe now, the way things are looking at the table. And the job Barry Robson's done, he knows the club inside out, Barry Robson, and fans will just be hoping that he can continue on that run they've been on at the moment. I mean, 7 successive wins, don't know how sustainable that is, but certainly going into big games they'll be full of confidence.
Yeah, but that run has got him the job. You know, it's got him the opportunity, but it's just that, as Barry says himself there, he's an experienced campaigner in football. He's worked there for a numerous amount of years as a coach, so this is the next step for him. But yeah, football, you've got 1-7 in a row, but you're only as good as your next game really in football, and this is the challenge now for Aberdeen. If they can cement that third place, it's a tremendous effort for them. That's where they should be, a club like Aberdeen, and then they have to go and do it again next year.
Yeah, because they've had those wins. They've certainly, he's improved a lot of the players who were already at the club. Defensively, they look a lot better as well. Aberdeen fans will now be keen to see what he's able to do in the summer in terms of bringing in his own players. You know, what a Barry Robson team will look like when he's got his own recruitment in there.
That's an important thing. Yes, he's undoubtedly done brilliant to achieve what he's achieved and got the job, and he deserves that. Of course he does. But next year will be a massive year for him, because you look at this year, for instance, I think there's only four clubs in that league who have not changed their manager. So you don't get long now in this job. The one thing I liked about him, his first decision as caretaker, he removed the captain. He put the captain out of the club. So he made strong decisions, and obviously it's worked benefits for him. And it'll be interesting to see the challenge Aberdeen's got to make next season.
There seems to be a real bond between Robson and the fans already. They seem to have really taken to him. Yes, results help that, but I think a lot of the Aberdeen fans have been really impressed by, you know, the way he speaks as well. Yeah. He's very open and quite honest when he talks to the press, speaks very well.
Yeah, he does talk well. I know Barry, you know, our paths have crossed over the years. And as I say, he's an experienced campaigner in Scottish football, which will help him. He was saying there himself, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. And I think it's a great start from there. It really is. It helps when you've got a couple of guys at the top end of the table, the park, like said Duke and Majofsky, that have contributed goals this year. Can they keep them? That's the challenge for a club like Aberdeen. Can they hold on to the better players and then progress? So, yeah, interesting to see, but he's off to a fabulous start.
Yeah, we're quite early in terms of looking ahead to the weekend, Gordon, but you look at that fixture at 3 o'clock on Sunday, Rangers at home to Aberdeen. We saw what Aberdeen did the last time they played Rangers. Rangers now also off the back of a defeat at Hampden to Celtic in the Scottish Cup semi-finals. Aberdeen fans and Barry Robson and the players, you'd think, will be going there with a spring in their step.
They'll certainly fancy it. Of that, there's no doubt. There's a little bit of added pressure there, because as much as I know that every Rangers fan, and probably Michael Beale, will be the same, he'll can't wait to get to the summer, get the season out the road, and then look to plan for next year. But up until then, you've still got to win football matches. Because, look, he will not get sacked, right? And I don't think he deserves a sack. But what will happen to him is, if he stumbles against Aberdeen, and then he's got Celtic, for instance, and he doesn't win that game, the criticism will be unbelievable. He'll certainly feel it, but I just think it's fair to him, as coming in as a manager and hearing what he's had. He's had one window. He's brought in two players. Unfortunately, Tillman wasn't one of them in January. I think that would have been a big turning point for him. But I think it's all about the summer for Michael Beale for me.
Yeah, it's a lot of what Michael Beale needs to do between now and the summer is about maybe trying to limit the pressure that's going to be on him at the start of next season. Because if Rangers can go on a run and win a few games, maybe beat Celtic as well, then fans will maybe be looking at things a bit more positively. But if there are a few bad results between now and the summer, it just ramps up pressure, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he won't need that. He won't want that either. Daz is right. You know, the game at the weekend, they have to bounce back from the disappointment of the semi-final, but you're absolutely right. They've got a great, if I was the manager, I'd be thinking that you've got a great opportunity at home against Celtic to go and try and stem that tide, because Celtic have got the hold over Rangers. That is no doubt just now, and that can only change with Rangers winning one of these fixtures. If that doesn't happen and Celtic were got to go on and win that one again, it just turns the heat up that little bit more. So I think he'll be looking to next season, but he'll want to finish this season in some sort of position where, you know, the fans are still supporting them on side.
And we'll have plenty of build up throughout the week towards Friday night, which looks absolutely huge in the Scottish Championship. Just looking at the table now, that is going to be an incredible night of football, isn't it? Especially with Queen's Park against Dundee at Oakleview.
Yeah, it was as it stands at the weekend there. We had that in the studio because Queen's Park at one point were leading, and all they needed against Dundee was a win or a draw. I think it's now reversed. Dundee are in total command of that. But a one-off game, end of the season, at home, although that you can argue it's not their home pitch, but they're at least not going to Dens Park. Be a sellout, terrific atmosphere. That'll be a cracker, absolute cracker.
The fact that every single team, apart from Raith Rovers, 10-team league, 9 teams still have something to play for on the final night of the season is just absolutely incredible.
It's great for the Championship. You know, it's always a division that serves up. You know, it's always close at both ends of the table. But to serve that game up as the last game, a title decider, you know, it couldn't have worked out any better. And it's going to be really exciting, you know, and they could probably put that at Hampden, you know, and got a really big crowd in for that game, because I think that's going to be, I think Dundee will bring a lot of support as well, so yeah, interesting.
Right, let's finish off this teaser. Celtic and Inverness last played each other in the 2016-17 season. Can you name all 8 Celtic goalscorers? Dembele, Armstrong, Sinclair, Brown, Lustig and Griffiths are the 6 of the 8 you've got. Two more answers needed.
The one that was staring us right in the face, Tom Rogic.
Tom Rogic is correct. We need one more from you.
Wasn't staring us in the face, but I eventually got it.
Ah, the glory.
Kieran Tierney.
Kieran Tierney is correct. You have all 8. So yes, there we go. And thank you very much for all your calls, all your tweets tonight. Thank you for listening in as well. Well done to Luke, who won the tickets to Simon Stop the 10 night at the SEC Armadillo. We'll have more tickets to give away on Beat the Pundit tomorrow night as well. Of course, we will be back tomorrow night and all week building up to what is going to be a huge weekend of football in the Scottish Championship, as we mentioned there. So many big games, and then on to the Premiership this weekend, where Celtic could wrap up the title at Tynecastle. Lots to bring you throughout the week. We'll be back tomorrow night, but make sure to stick around, because Callum Gallagher is up next.